This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
DraftKings, of course, VSiN, the sports betting network. This is Sharp Money on a Wednesday, midweek, June 26th. I say hi, I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. NBA draft coming up in a mere hours. We're going to have, by the time this 3 hours is done, we're going to have some winners, okay? We've got plenty to do. John Mettler, covers.com. He's got some long shots if you want to take a chance tonight in the NBA draft. Mike Palm, Circa the D, Golden Gate Casino, is going to stop by. You know, do his shtick. Won't talk to us when he first gets there. We'll start off very low. Hi, Patrick. And then all of a sudden we'll get to that second segment and he'll just be yelling because he wants to beat the big guy and Palm versus the big guy. Look forward to it. Derek Murray does a great job as a scout covering the NBA, college basketball. We're going to talk to him. And Mike Somich. See what that donk is up to. So you're thinking you're going to have Mike Somich on the program. It's Friday. Hell yeah. Let's go, boys, family. What's up? No, because remember, MC Mike, you know, MC Mike Somich with the horse racing event that he's emceeing on Friday. So he said, I'm going to stop by Wednesday. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Me and the big guy said, yeah, we'd love to see you, Mike. So part of the family, Mike Somich, VSiN host, professional bettor, will join us coming up on the program. Of course, you wait for it every day. When's he going to get to the big guy? And we do that now. Dustin Sweetelson hanging out. It's not going great with the girls behind the bar at Bar Canada. There were two of them, and now there's zero. But we certainly say hi to the big guy. Also, the Big Sunday program and Double Play, a baseball podcast.
That's everything. That is it. I can confirm that's everything I'm currently working on. Also, we'll be on primetime after us at 6:45 p.m. Eastern, breaking down a little bit baseball.
Yeah, they're digging deep, huh? It's interesting. I really don't have anything to say. Just good job, man.
Just taking shots. That's all I do.
Tim and JVT were just like,
you watch highlights of these UFC fighters and like, oh, who's the guy holding the bag? That's me. I'm the bag man of this show.
I just want to be behind the scenes with, and of course, you know, somebody like a Tim Murray, what a host. And I'd love to be behind the scenes when they were coming up with their guest list and Jonathan and Tim were like, somebody threw the name Dustin Sweetelson for a regular spot. And then they came to the conclusion, great idea.
But like, you say you like me, but then you say that part. And I'm like, does he like me as a human being?
I do. I just like clowning you. That's why. And if it were true, I wouldn't say it. If you were terrible as a guest, I wouldn't say anything. Because what am I, a psychopath? You're a great guest. You know.
I take my shoes off.
We need to move on. I can't deal with your insecurities right now. So can we just move on? There's no sensitivity on this show. I don't have time for it. We're on vacation in 2 days. Could you just drop whatever your parents did to you for the next 3 hours so I can get through a program and get to the beach? Thank you.
Yes.
Now, we do have a draft, and you didn't even have shtick to start. It was terrible, so let's get going. I got to pick us up here, boys. We got the draft coming up tonight. Now, Richichet is the kid from France, big guy, and he now over at DraftKings is minus $5. I haven't heard one person that covers, and I'm talking Fran Fraschilla, I'm talking everybody that covers this sport, say this dude can even dribble a basketball. They all hate him. Like, the comps are coming out, and the comps are like, you know, a player that isn't even coming off the – it's like the eighth guy on a roster, and he's all of a sudden going to go one overall. Now, a couple of things here with Richichet, and you can do your own research on him, you know, big kid, blah, blah, blah. The Sarr, the Alexander Sarr conversation is fascinating because he – and you have to think about it this way. It's like Alexander Sarr didn't work out for the Hawks, who have the number one overall pick. Because he wants to go to Washington and get buckets and then, you know, raise his cachet. People can't stand Sarr. And Sarr forever was thinking, well, he played in Australia and the numbers are pathetic. I know he played against some G League teams and had a couple of good games. I don't care. Here's what I care about with Sarr. And whoever gets him, shame on you. To not have the competitive spirit to want to go one overall makes you a loser. I'm sorry. Just, oh, yeah, I'd rather just go. No. You want to be the number one overall pick. This is what you've been working your whole life for. I'm going to give you four players, and I can only give you four players I've watched that I know are going to be solid pros. All right? Here we go. Reed Sheppard is going to be a solid pro. 6'1.5". I understand the kid from Kentucky doesn't have a true position, but he's not one of the good shooters to come out of college basketball. He's one of the great shooters to come out of college basketball. So Reed Sheppard, I think he is going to be... Now, could you attack him defensively? Probably. But he's a tremendous passer. He's great off the dribble. He can catch and shoot. He is... The numbers are insane for the Kentucky kid at Reed Sheppard. He's going to be a hit. I can guarantee you that. All right? Next up, Stephon Castle. He's like 6'8 when you put the shoes on. You know he's going to be a great defender. Probably can handle the ball a little bit better than he's given credit for. Can turn into a better shooter. You're not getting. This is what the draft is. I'm just telling you, are you a player on a team that can win a championship, that can get valuable minutes? Castle is that guy. He's going to be, you know, UConn back to back. You understand. Next up, Dalton Knecht. He's 20. He's basically my age. The issue with being 24 is that you get overlooked for what you can do because they're looking for potential. First off, he costs the same as a 24-year-old, and he's gotten better from the Arizona time, Northern Arizona, over to Tennessee. It's almost like a horse. After they get past that three-year-old year, they mature at a more progressive rate. And that's what happened with Dalton Knecht. If you watched him at Tennessee, he is a bucket. He is going to score in the NBA. There is no problem with Dalton Knecht. And the last one, frankly, well, there's two more. I think Klingon's going to be a pro. Here's the thing with Klingon. You know, the big UConn, can't shoot, whatever. This draft stinks. But Donovan Klingon, the reason I like him is you have to pick. If you're the Atlanta Hawks, that means you're keeping, you know, Trae Young. Because what Klingon is, he's a guy you just toss lobs to. He's all of 7'1", 7'2", whatever he is. He's very athletic. Like, he can move. He's fluid. But he's not going to stretch. So what you're going to do is work that two-man game with him, throw up some lobs, and just get them easy buckets, big guy. So Klingon, and he has an opportunity. Again, you know, wait for prime time. He has an opportunity to become not a good, an elite defender a la Gobert. So I know that skill can hit. I'm going with guarantees. So one, Stephon Castle defending the wing, Dustin Sweetelson. Reed Sheppard, spectacular shooter. You see what I'm doing? It's a terrible draft, so I'm giving you something I know is going to translate. Donovan Klingon, tremendous defense down low. And Dalton Knecht getting buckets in the NBA. That will happen. So those are the four I'm going to give you to start.
Two common themes with a bunch of those players. Not all of them, because Klingon is a little bit different at 7 foot. If you're picking, you got to remember, the draft pool is completely changed with NIL. And it's not just that we don't know these players because they bounce around, but a lot of the fringe guys that would normally take a chance that could be high upside picks are staying in college to a degree to kind of, you know, improve their value for the next year. So when you look at the draft pool you're going to get every year in the NBA draft, I think there's two variables that you have to look at with players that they have to have. You have to be able to shoot the three, and you have to be able to defend. That's how you make an impact right away in the NBA. I'm a little surprised, though, of the four players you listed, there were two names I expected to hear out of your mouth, and I didn't.
Let's
One,
go.
Bronny James.
You doing shtick.
Everyone keeps telling me he matters.
I mean, Bronny James, if we're being fair, it is fascinating from a betting perspective.
That, well, that's
what's
different.
What's going
to happen. That's different. And then the other name, and I don't know what he is in the pros, but I know he can do one of the two things I said, which is defend. You had an unhealthy March obsession, stalker status with Houston's Jamal Shedd. He is available in this draft. Thought you were going to say he was going to step up, be a second-round pick.
No, he's just a badass. But
I'll give you a couple names.
All right.
Carter from Providence. I watched Providence a bunch this year. I think he's a dog. I think he's aggressive. He's a point guard off the bench right away. He's the type of guy that he may not be a superstar, but he's going to play in the league for a long time. That's a guy that jumps out to me that if I'm in the middle
Great
rounds.
Great defensive player.
Yeah, if I'm in the middle rounds, right? What am I looking for? Well, I need another piece, another depth piece that can help push my team over the top for the postseason. He's a guy I like. Similar vein, a veteran from Creighton. I like Baylor Shireman as a pro. He can shoot the ball. He can play a couple different positions, and he can defend. Those are two guys that I think later in the draft can go be value picks to good teams because they should be able to contribute.
Love it. Tremendous. And I could tell you mean business today because, and we're going to come back and dive more into the market and give you some plays. I can tell you mean business today because it's not like with the Hawaiian shirt shtick. It's not, it's just, hey, here's a straight up button down. I fit it well with my weight loss and roll up the sleeves and go to work. I can tell you mean business today, and it's good to see.
So full transparency, this was the last clean shirt. Everything else is at the dry cleaners because I do not know how to iron. Secondly, the sleeves are rolled up because the button broke off of this one. I can't close this, so if I can't have one all the way down and one up. So full disclosure, I am still a hot mess, even though it doesn't look that way on the surface.
All good. You got through it. It's interesting with Hollinger, you know, John Hollinger. He's got Zachary Richesche as his 13th best prospect, and he's minus 500 to go one overall.
Here's how I know Richesche stinks. The first thing everyone says when you ask him about him, well, you know, he's a wing. Okay, cool. If that's the first, not explosiveness, not shooting ability, not athleticism, not playmaker, he plays on the wing. That's why we like him. That, to me, big knock against him.
Are we sure? He shot 38% from three. Basically, everybody's just saying Richesche is a donk, and he's going to go one overall in the draft. Anthony Edwards is going to clown him. No, what's not Anthony? You know, the dude from UNLV in 13.
Oh, Anthony Bennett.
Anthony Bennett's like, Richesche? Are you serious? Are you serious? Back into the DraftKings market for the 2024 draft.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, sign up for the spring special into summer here. You get 13 months, so a free month for $199, generally $240. Remember, we've got the NFL betting guide dropping tomorrow, but you have to be a VSiN pro to get it. It's vsin.com/subscribe. And when you go there, use the promo code SHARP to unlock the deal. Okay, vsin.com/subscribe. Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas at the D. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Hope you're doing well. Got a jam-packed show. We've got John Mettler coming up in about 30 minutes, going to give you some bets on the NBA draft. Mike Palm is going to stop by. Palm versus the big guy, Derek Murray. He's a scout, basketball scout, and Mike Somich. So we are packed today. Just quickly get you caught up. Georgia, who's ranked 74th in the world, scored in the second minute against the sixth-ranked Portugal, and Ronaldo did start today, though Portugal's already advanced out of their group, but Georgia up 1-0 in the 16th minute as we take a look at the Euros, which is just awesome having this on during the day. Czechia and Turkey tied up at nil, 16th minute. Slovakia, Romania, a 1-1 tie earlier today, and Ukraine and Belgium. And that is just a team with De Bruyne and Lukaku. Like, they need to do better. And they 0-0 draw with Ukraine earlier today. Okay, so we'll get back into the draft. But as you woke up earlier today, there was, I already had a friend that is a Nets fan text me that he was sad, but he knew it was the right move. And I'm like, well, what the hell is he talking about? And I looked up. Look up, and you look at social, and all of a sudden, the Villanova Knicks are absolutely dominating. So I just thought, oh my gosh, it actually happened. Mikal Bridges was traded. And understand, the Nets and Knicks hate each other. Like, the organism, there's a huge stepbrother, there's a huge syndrome. The idea of them working together is odd within itself, but Mikal Bridges was traded to Dustin's New York Knicks. So, again, now he joins Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, and DiVincenzo as former former white Villanova players and won championships. So this had been discussed as the perfect outcome, and now the fact that it's come to fruition is wild. Now, a couple of things here. The Nets absolutely fleeced the Knicks based on value for the player. All right, but we'll get into why I still think it's a great move for the Knicks. But they absolutely got a ton back, and we'll throw it up here. Mikal Bridges to the Knicks. Nice player. Very good player. Had an interesting career so far. They get Bojan Bogdanović back from the Knicks. Four unprotected first-round picks. One in 25. This is the Nets. They get one in 25, one in 27, one in 29, and one in 31. They get next year's protected first-round pick via Milwaukee. They get a 28 unprotected pick swap, and they get a 25 second-round pick. So, look, again, there's vitriol between Brooklyn and the New York Knicks, so they weren't going to make a move unless they fleeced them. And the Knicks are essentially saying, we've got a five-year window. Go ahead. Have all these picks. We're trying to build a nucleus of BFFs that can win championships, plural. So we're not concerned about those little picks. Dustin, you are a Knicks fan. Your reaction today with Mikal Bridges being traded to the Knickerbockers?
Well, I think that friend factor is massive because the Knicks, the vibes, even without Randall, even as the injuries just piled up, the team kept the vibes up, and I think that was probably the best attribute they had as a group, is that they were always looking at the positive, they were always working together. And when I looked at this offseason, a lot of people had rumors out there of, oh, maybe it's Paul George comes in, maybe they make a move for Brandon Ingram, maybe there's another disgruntled star somewhere that they could trade for, maybe they convince LeBron to come to MSG and deliver the Statue of Liberty, a Larry O'Brien trophy. Maybe that's what's going to happen here. But I was always hesitant with all of these big names because I needed them to fit into the Knicks culture. It didn't feel right just going out and getting a hired gun just because it's the best player available. The best player, the best talent doesn't necessarily have to be a part of this team because the chemistry they play with, the way that they're so honest with each other, good, bad, or indifferent, the way that this team just played as a full-on unit together in the playoffs, I wanted someone who would fit in right. And when I looked at this trade, while it is a lot of picks to give up for someone who's never made a single All-Star team, I like this move. Because Paul George, there's a lot of questions about who he's been lately. And really, if he went to the Knicks, does he really want to be there? He's an L.A. guy through and through. He would just then be going to a situation where there's less pressure on him with Brunson as the one. I think Mikal Bridges was the perfect fit because he doesn't upset everything you've already built to this point.
It's very great job. It's very well put because I like what you said about the hired gun, and I totally agree. Now, the friend that texted me is a Brooklyn Nets season ticket holder, right? And he said, we're going to be bad for a long time, but this needed to happen because essentially you turned a 30 or 35-year-old KD into 9 first-rounders. So they got rid of KD, and after all the machinations, you got like 9 first-round picks. So you can start to rebuild if you're the Brooklyn Nets. And I wrote him back, and I said, I hate to say it, but the Knicks are very likable. He can't stand, and Dustin knows who this is, he can't stand the Knicks. And he said, you're absolutely right, and it's because of what you said. They didn't do it the way KD to Golden State. They didn't just go try to woo somebody like a LeBron James and take a square hole into a round peg. No, they're doing exactly what you said. Not only are they building a likable team, they're building a team that is going to spit in the face of conventionality. Like, do you just add talent? Or does it matter if people actually like and care about each other? Is the sum of the parts better than the superstars? And that's what the Knicks are about to prove. This Knicks team has a very, outside of Jalen Brunson, who people have different opinions about, this Knicks team is starting to have a very 0-4 Pistons feel. Where is the super duper star? Brunson is now, to be fair. But outside of that, it's just a bunch of really good, solid role players that know what they're doing and know their role. So I love that.
Yeah. And in today's NBA, I think what we saw in the postseason, look at Dallas. depth matters. Not relying just on two guys to get it done in your crunch time matters. And the Knicks, let's also be clear about this. They have to bring OG Anunoby back. I know people will look at him and say he's been injured and he's not really the offensive guy. No. OG Anunoby, you gave up young assets and Quickly and Barrett to get him. You can't make this Bridges move unless you know you're going to max out OG and lock up this roster, because depth matters. So with the depth OG brings, you now bring Josh Hart off the bench where he can really thrive. You bring DiVincenzo as a change of pace off the bench with that shooting. You can rest your starters throughout the year and not put the tax on them that they had this past season, which is why a lot of them wore down late. I think when you're looking at this Knicks roster, you have two goals: depth, and are you built to stop the Boston Celtics right now, because they are very much in their prime and they look like they don't have many weaknesses. Well, this Knicks team may not be able to go shot for shot with those defending champs, but I think when you look at the defense that they're going to bring to the table, Bridges, Anunoby, Hart, I think because of that, they will be able to slow down Boston and therefore make it their style of a fight.
Yeah, the Anunoby piece, I totally agree with you. You have to re-sign him. He's such a specific player and so unique. But didn't he just opted out, correct?
He opted out, but they obviously have the rights to re-sign him here, and he wants a max deal. And I think at this point, there's no point of being all in and then not going all in and giving OG Anunoby what he wants, make him happy, keep him locked up. Brunson's going to sign an extension that's going to be team-friendly because he's going to do it early, which will give them flexibility on the back end of the deal. I just think you keep this group together. You do not let Anunoby get away, because you really need him for when it matters.
No, I totally agree. Totally agree. Do you get the sense that tonight could get super weird as far as more trades?
I think there's a chance. So without the high-end talent, I think teams are not going to have to trade as much to trade down. So if they don't love who is there available for them, they're not asking a lot to get out of those picks. Because of that, I think we're going to see a lot of teams that are on the back end that would like a little bit better talent than they would normally get at the back end of a draft. Even though this class is weak, they will then trade a little bit up. And I just think we're going to have pure chaos throughout the whole draft.
Yeah, there were rumors. I don't know if they're substantial, but the idea that teams were looking into Kevin Durant's services.
Well, that's a good one, because the Rockets are in on him. And I've seen the Rockets listed for just about every big name over the last 2 weeks here. I am very tempted to start betting Rockets futures to win it all with the moves they made last year. They got better with more veterans, and they're a very good defensive team. It might be the team to buy low on right now.
I know that's right. when you get that future in that nobody's thinking about, you got that look like you had at Legacy Club. You know what I mean?
100-1 to win the title. 100-1.
I'm cooking something. I'm cooking. When we come back, I've got a hypothetical about your Knicks, and we'll jump back into the draft market.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, vsin.com, you get your best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by your state, betting tools, and betting guide, all there. Check out vsin.com. We got you back here, Sharp Money, DraftKings, and VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson. I'll say this, the draft coming up in a few hours, I think it's fascinating because Richiche right now, I'm just going to take a look again to see. Yeah, he's minus $5 favorite, the French kid, who everybody says stinks. But he's your favorite to go to the Hawks. Klingon's your second betting favorite at 5-1. And then Sarr, a kid from France, played in Australia. He's 14-1. Castle's 18-1. But what I do find fascinating, so the draft isn't until tonight, but there's a pretty good chance that we already know who's going to be the number one overall pick. And it comes down to two people ruining fun, and that is Woj and Shams. The way that they're going to be interrupting, can we let the commissioner walk up to the stage and let America be surprised? Can we do that for once? Can we not have to be first and ruin the spirit of what this is all about, a draft? You understand what I'm saying, big guy?
Well, look, you have to make a business decision. Either you want to know who teams are picking, or you want to experience the moment with them. You want to just know the information? You can be on social media. You want to experience it? Unfortunately, you got to turn the phone off because you know one of your friends is going to ruin it and text something during it, and then you'll be anticipating something and it won't be as real. But I think you have two choices here. You either are on social media and you're okay with it being ruined. At that point, don't even watch the draft. Or two, you shut the phone off, you walk away from it, and you lock in and watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think the stuff that happened with Dan Hurley and the Lakers, I think because of that and that little battle that Shams and Woj were going through, I think they're going to be even a little more quick to the trigger finger.
Well, today. Especially for trades. And by the way, can we just take a moment? And I understand it's related to the contracts and the CBA and rights and all that. The NBA draft is far and away the most confusing sporting event of the year because they have to be drafted by the team who's in the original spot, even though we all know that that spot is traded. And sometimes when they're traded, it's traded after or it's before, and they're wearing a hat, and we think they're on the Phoenix Suns, and we react to the whole draft thinking, man, the Suns had a great draft, forgetting that that pick was actually from the Milwaukee Bucks. It is the most confusing draft there is to watch.
Okay. Well, I believe you.
Just really if someone's traded a pick already, let that other team make the selection.
Like I said, I believe you. I have this for you. So, Villanova Knicks. So the Knicks have traded for Mikal Bridges. So now they have four from Nova on that team and four very good players. They gave up a ton. So this leads into, and I would think this is a very common question. So here's my question for you, Knicks fans. Would you, given the choice, stick with Tom Thibodeau or hire Jay Wright?
Okay. I think it's a great question. And by the way, Jay Wright was on the Roommates podcast this past week. And I'm going to have to go back and watch it, where he hung out with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, and they just reminisced about old times, but also talked about Tibbs and Jay Wright bonding with Tibbs at Josh Hart's wedding. I saw a clip the other day. This is a great question, and I don't think there's any question that the answer is you stick with Tom Thibodeau. Here's why. Jalen Brunson was not Jalen Brunson until he got to Tom Thibodeau. I think we have to acknowledge that. And I think in life, we often look at these situations and go, the grass is greener. I love Jay Wright. He's my college coach. We had such a great time together in college. I loved playing for him. He's a great guy. Just because you're enjoying it and you're liking something doesn't mean it's the better move for you. Sometimes that friction that comes from someone who pushes you, someone who gets under your skin, someone who understands how to push your buttons and motivate you is actually better for you in the long run, not the thing that makes you just feel good all the time. So while Jay Wright might make these guys feel good and more nostalgic for the past, Tom Thibodeau has gotten an awful lot out of them that none of these guys were getting in their past stops in the NBA.
I think I agree with you, and I think that was well done. I think it's the next level. Look, Jay Wright has had overtures after overture, but when we talk about the NBA, again, you go Celtics, Knicks, Lakers, in whatever order you want to put them in. So it is that franchise. He is a Philly guy, which is very close to New York City. It would make sense that he has synergy with the players that he's won championships with. But Thibodeau's done a hell of a job. So, but it's first thing I thought about when I saw the trade today is like, would you make the move coming off a season where I think everybody would agree Thibodeau coached his ass off?
Yeah. And I think it's a fair question just because we know who Tom Thibodeau is. A lot of times he feels like that guy before the guy wears out his welcome. But it does also feel like he actually has a roster for the first time in his career that understands what he's all about and wants to be pushed. Now, they could get sick and tired that after 2-3 years of not winning a title or not going to the finals, where they say, you know what, why are we doing this to ourselves? Tibbs is great, but we're just not going to get over the hump if he's going to keep pushing us, and then maybe you make that move. But for right now, I think you have to look around and say, Tom Thibodeau should be the guy in charge of this roster.
The player draft, the top five. Okay, Castle's up to 245.
Okay, his number keeps moving.
His number is moving big time. Where's my LeBron? Hold on. Let me grab the Bronny James conversation. Here he is. It's all the way up to 54.5.
Yeah.
So that was much lower before. So that number keeps moving up.
Yeah, he's also minus 145 to be selected by the Lakers. I don't envision a world where another team, other than trying to call the bluff that we don't even know is a bluff anymore with LeBron, I can't imagine another team wanting to use an asset on Bronny James. And he might develop into something. I mean, who knows? But I can't imagine another team other than wanting to call LeBron and say, hey, we got your son. Come play for us now. That's the only way it makes sense to take him. Other than that, he's going to just keep falling in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's LeBron's son. We understand. He isn't a point guard because he has a rather poor handle for a player his size. He measured 6'1.5" in socks at the combine. That was a bummer for him. He does have a 6'7" wingspan, and he's got tremendous vertical attributes that allow him to play a little bit bigger than his size, but, and then, you know, solid frame, but on the offensive end, he's just not a player.
You know what confuses me about something?
He just wasn't any good.
You know what confuses me about something you just said? They'll go, yeah, look, he's only 6'3", but he has a 6'7" wingspan. But then they don't acknowledge the fact that the guys they talk about who are 6'7" have 7'1" wingspans. So it's all relevant.
The bottom line is, like, he's not talented enough to crack a rotation. At his size, he's not talented enough to crack a rotation.
He's LiAngelo Ball. All right, maybe that was mean.
LiAngelo, just because he's stout, maybe even a better prospect. I don't know. Look, the Bronny James thing is fascinating. I think JBT brought up an interesting point yesterday. He's 54.5 for his draft position. I think it is very fast. Like, I know they have a close relationship, but would he want it? Now, he has to be drafted by the Lakers because I can't imagine anybody else is going to draft him.
I don't see it.
People give him tryouts, but he's only tried out for two teams. But the concept of traveling with your father and playing on the same team, basketball's a small roster. It just seems odd.
It's a small roster, and when you get to different cities, you have a different roster that you pull up on Instagram, if you know what I mean. So the last thing I want is my dad around. Also, no offense to anyone who works with their parents, but I kind of would prefer the freedom to not have my dad there at work every day. If we just view it from that perspective, every day you go to work, every day your dad's there watching over there. Every day, like, your dad's identity is looming over how you're treated by the rest of the company. That feels like a tough thing for a guy who wants to be his own individual and, like, find himself as a young man in the sports world. Going and being on a different team would help develop him as a human being first.
Right, but then the LeBron James brand has a decision to make, because by having him on his father's team, that's the insulation that gets his son that step in, because he's not going to – people talking about, oh, the Celtics should draft him to block LeBron. It's like, that's such a goofy conversation. No. He's not a pro. I don't know if he eventually turns it. He's just not –
He could. He could. He very well could. I mean, maybe there's a growth spurt coming we don't know about. Maybe the stuff that his dad's taken – that's kept him relevant for all these years. He starts taking some of that stuff and explodes on the scene. He could become a pro, but as of right now, he's not worthy of a draft pick.
Why? He got his mom's height gene, obviously.
Well, because the younger one, Bryce, is really tall.
I wonder if you have a dad that's 6'9", how often you end up as short as 6'1.5". Not very.
That's a good question.
I'm talking just in life.
No. The science behind it just doesn't quite add up.
Like, if he was 6'4", you'd be like, wow, not even close to his father. He's 6'1.5".
Yeah. It's a
pretty
big
interesting
difference. Yeah.
John Mettler, covers.com, is going to join us. He's got plays on the NBA draft, and I think he's got a big long shot as well if you want to have some fun with it. Georgia still leads Portugal. Wow. 40th minute, 1-0. Looked like a red card to Czechia in Turkey, 0-0. We're back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, check out VSIN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, your betting tools, and your betting guides. It's all there. Of course, VSIN.com. We've got our NFL betting guide dropping tomorrow. You have to go to VSIN.com to get it. Okay, we've got the NBA draft coming up in a few hours here, and obviously awesome opportunities to bet. You can go to DraftKings. They got a ton of market. A big menu there. To talk about it, our buddy John Mettler, covers.com NBA analyst. You can find John on Twitter at John Mettler. You've got a bunch, and good to talk to you. You've got a bunch, but let's start here. So the Richichet kid, right now he's minus $5, progressive guest line. I can't find anybody that's breaking down this draft to say anything good about him, but he's minus 500 to go to the Hawks. Like, what is the player? I know he's in France, so I don't expect you to have a ton on it, but do you think that's a little heavy on him to go one?
Yeah, I kind of feel like the Hawks have been playing this where they were trying to make it look like they were very interested in guys that teams below them might trade up for. So I even like right now, I'm not fully convinced that he even is the guy the Hawks want to take if they're just the team making this pick. They might be taking him for someone else in a trade. But I mean, even you go back, what, 2 years ago, Jabari Smith Jr. was like minus 10,000 5 minutes before the draft, and it completely flipped with Banchero. So I feel like the Hawks are just trying to leverage, kind of trying to maximize the value of this pick to create a trade. I'm not sure Richichet is actually like their guy, but we're going to find that out in the next like 5 hours here.
That's a great point about the volatility in the Banchero draft. I had forgot about that, but it's tremendous. Now, second overall at 20-1 is Kentucky's Reed Shepherd, who is an exceptional shooter. Give me your thought process here.
Yeah, same thing. So I'm basically betting this draft with the idea of like we will just see potentially chaos. I don't think anyone really truly knows. I don't think we even know who's making these picks in these certain slots. So kind of my one thought here is, you know, the Hawks, once again, they've been trying to find someone to trade for the first overall pick. If you're the Wizards and it's been floated out there that you're 100% taking Alex Saar if he's on the board, just let that narrative run. Why would you want anyone to know you're potentially taking Reed Shepherd? Because the Hawks are looking to make a trade. So why would you give someone the opportunity to jump in front of you and jump you for Reed Shepherd? I just look at the Wizards. I don't think it's an automatic that they go big. Like, you look at their backcourt, Tyus Jones is a free agent. Their only other guards on the roster are Jordan Poole, Jared Butler, Johnny Davis, and Landry Shamet. There's lots of room. I mean, as the NBA expands into like how important three-point shooting is, I feel like Reed Shepherd could be more in play. You're not going to find any mock drafts that say this. You're not going to really find anything that says this. I just think, you know, 22-1, I'll take a stab at it for sure with Shepherd there going second overall.
I love that play. Third overall, you've got the big from UConn, Donovan Clingan, going third overall at close to 3-1.
Yeah, that's a lot of my plays were more long shots. This was kind of the one I didn't go too long here. I do think he's kind of in play. It seems like there's so many different angles, like so many teams want to come up and trade for him at three. I do think that's kind of what was causing a lot of the confusion with one is I think ideally the Spurs and Hawks would want to make a trade. Hawks go back to four, get Clingan. But the problem is the Rockets are sitting in front of them, also shopping that pick to other teams for Clingan. So I do think, you know, we kind of saw rumors out there that maybe Marcus Smart gets flipped to the Rockets. He gets reunited with Ime Udoka, and then the Grizzlies get Donovan Clingan. Now you've seen Alperen Şengün. They might offer him up in trades, and then the Rockets just take Clingan themselves. Also seen rumors the Hornets might come up to get Clingan. It just seems like there's so many paths to different people trying to come get Clingan at that third overall. So that's why I went with Clingan there plus 275. I just don't think I don't think there is an opportunity for a long shot there. Reed Shepherd is the favorite, but if I have him going second, he can't go third. So I went Clingan.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, no, Clingan, top three has to be in play. Fifth overall, this is a player I love. Obviously, he's a little bit older, but you've got 15-1 on Dalton Kennett going fifth overall.
Yeah, to the Pistons. I think there's multiple paths here. One, I don't think the Pistons have, you know, obviously they only won 14 games. They're really bad. They're in a rebuild. I don't think they actually have as much time to bring in someone who has like a higher ceiling and you have to wait for them to develop. They already have a bunch of those guys. At some point, you have to start winning. You're also trying to sign Cade Cunningham here to an extension. You have to create space for him on the floor. You need shooters. I think Dalton Kennett fits that also because he is a little bit older. The other side of that too is, you know, the Pistons have been very vocal that they want to trade back. And if they want to trade back, Dalton Kennett is the favorite to go sixth overall to the Hornets. So once again, you could see someone come up, jump the Hornets, take Dalton Kennett. So this might not necessarily even be the Pistons. I just kind of like the bet from, I feel like the Pistons could take him. I feel like he could be in play for the Pistons. And I also feel like it could be a trade, someone coming to get him to jump the Hornets. I think the big thing about the theme tonight will be trades. I think there's going to be a ton of trades, and I think it's going to wreak havoc on what we think we're going to see. So that's kind of how I'm playing into these angles too.
Yeah, I'd be fired up if the Pistons took Connect. I hope you're right, because I'd love to see that. Next up, 6 overall, Devin Carter. Dustin was talking about him a little earlier at 20-1 to go 6 overall.
Yeah, so Devin Carter, again, not one you're really seeing in like mock drafts for the Charlotte Hornets. If they stay at 6, I feel like he's way more in play than this price implies. Like, once again, you look at just how rosters are constructed and even the teams that have recently won, you kind of, you know, you have your superstar player on the perimeter, but then you also have another perimeter guy who takes on that responsibility of being like the primary defender, the point of attack defender, someone who can knock down threes. I think Devin Carter is that kind of fit beside LaMelo Ball. I just feel like that fits almost perfectly. It's like LaMelo Ball is your offensive guy, Devin Carter is your defensive guy. You know, we've seen lots of reports he's on the rise. He set some records at the combine. I think the one thing someone pointed out, which I thought was pretty good too, they're talking about his three-point shooting and how it improved a lot, and he shot 37% this past year at Providence. That was on like 6 threes per game, but they're also pointing out these were on deep threes, and there a lot of them were very contested. So like once you move him into the NBA and he kind of gets to play more of that role player role versus like the leading scorer of a team, that three-point shot might actually be even better than what you're seeing kind of in college there. So the opportunity to be like a 3-and-D guy, I feel like he would be a big culture changer for the Hornets. My only problem with this bet is we're expecting the Hornets to make a good pick on someone that could bring value to their team. I don't know if they will, but I just feel like he would bring something to the Hornets that they've lacked for a long time.
Well, let me ask you about this because, and again, let me just go through these. JohnMetlerCovers.com. 2nd overall, Reed Sheppard, get a good price. 3rd overall, Donovan Klingon, a little shorter. 5th overall, Dalton Connect. Oh, please. 6 overall, Devin Carter, 20-1 to go 6 overall for Devin Carter. What was your reaction to the trade earlier today? Mikal Bridges joining the Knicks and his teammates from Villanova. Obviously, the Knicks gave the Nets a ton of picks, but what was just your take on it?
My initial thought was OG Anunoby's not coming back, but that looks like it's going to be Isaiah Hartenstein who gets the boot there from like the salary cap standpoint. I think you're seeing the Celtics kind of gave the playbook. It's, you know, 5 guys on the perimeter. Everyone can shoot threes. Everyone can play. You have a couple guys who are really good perimeter defenders. And now you've seen the Thunder kind of match that by getting Alex Caruso. Same thing. You have 4 guys, 5 guys, Chet Holmgren too. You can play the perimeter and like shoot threes, play defense. Now you've seen the Knicks match it as well. It's the same idea, right? You get Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, kind of the ball just keeps flowing and everyone can shoot. Everyone can play the perimeter. I feel like that Celtics championship is kind of creating a scenario where it's going to change how teams build their roster. I was kind of looking at this draft. Like I've jumped, you know, I have Dalton Connect going higher, Devin Carter going higher. I don't think if you can't shoot the three, I don't see how you come into this draft and get drafted higher than you normally would. Like we just watched the NBA finals and the Mavericks got killed from the 3-point line. And then you're going to come in this draft and draft people who can't shoot. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Are you hearing anything trade wise? You mentioned be some me and Dustin. Talking about that could be a crazy night, just trades in general. Like you heard Kevin Durant's name being bantied about. Are you hearing any other rumors regarding trades?
Yeah, the one guy I was looking at, it was on DraftKings too, was Brandon Ingram. They have player next team market up. I think he's someone he goes tonight. I think he probably gets traded tonight in the draft. So I was actually just sifting through it before I came on here. I didn't really land on a team yet that I want to bet on. I was looking through salary caps and how they might match and stuff like that. But I think he's the one guy probably in the next couple of hours I'll probably place a bet on because I think that does get resolved tonight. I think he'll be on the move.
Let me ask you, you and I are both Pistons fans. Would you want Ingram on the Pistons?
I think the Pistons should go for anyone with any form of basketball talent at this point. I mean, Trajan Langdon did come from the Pelicans, so he would have a pretty good idea of if he wants Ingram or not. I think the Pistons were kind of one of the shorter shots on the board there. I think they're like plus, I want to say 900. I'm going off memory here. I think another team that kind of is interesting, I guess, would be the Sacramento Kings, just because De'Aaron Fox has kind of stated, I'm not signing an extension until I see what the direction is here. So they might get aggressive with a move. I also feel like Klay Thompson might be in play for them too. That feels like kind of a move they can make as well with Mike Brown, the coach there too as well. So that also put a little spice to that rivalry.
Well, it's a celebration for Pistons fans because Monty Williams is no longer the coach and there's a new direction. And I'd be fascinated. What would New Orleans say 5 overall for Brandon Ingram? I'm sure more would have to be in the play. All right, John Mettler, enjoy the draft. Thank you for the plays. You can find the plays over at VSiN.com/picks and you can check out John over at covers.com and at John Mettler on Twitter. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
All right, good luck with your bets, everyone.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Big guy, would you, if you're the Pistons, would you trade 5 overall for Brandon Ingram?
Oh, in a heartbeat. Brandon Ingram and Dalton Connect are basically the same age.
It's true. It's true. All right. Palm is next, Mr. Mike Palm.